So this is our series, and we're only doing it for 3 weeks. We did it last week. We talked about this whole concept of meaningless. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes, we remember, was written by the smartest man that has lived. But not only the smartest, he became rich. He had the most powerful, the most influence of his time, the most riches of his time, and the most wisdom of his time. And if you were here last week, you remember that he said it's all meaningless. Yes, that's right. It's all meaningless, he said. It's like chasing after vapor, assuming that there's something out there that is going to fulfill us that comes from this earth. Something, you know, that next step in my job, that next step in my career, that next step in family, that next step in my relationship status, that next step in my bank account, that next step in becoming less busy, that next step in whatever it might be. You think, then I will have meaning and purpose. Then I will be happy. Then I will be good. Then I will know. And he says, actually, it's not true. It's like chasing after wind. You can't catch it. You can't all of a sudden get there and it's there. You're going to miss it every time. And so last week we said that most of us are too busy trying to get the life we wish we had to appreciate the life that we actually have. We're pursuing some life that we don't yet have, and we're missing out on the life that we're currently in. So what happens when we realize that the life we wish we had isn't actually what it's all about? I have a little clip from a movie that my kids and I, we've watched a few times. And this clip is this moment where a dad realizes that he's pursuing something that's getting in the way of him recognizing what's right in front of him, what's right before him. And this is a moment where it changes for him. Check it out.
What?
What's happening?
The storks are bringing me a baby brother!
Sounds like a nice dream, buddy.
Let's go back to sleep, honey.
This is the best day of my life!
Now, I really think you're gonna love this one, Becky. I think we found you a good one.
Yeah, when we saw this, we looked at each other and we were like, wow.
This is theirs, yeah. And it's a fixer-upper, which I know we weren't looking for.
But at least it's not a fixer-downer.
Can you
hold one second?
You're up.
Nate! What? Nate? Hey there, buddy. What you doing here?
I'm preparing.
Right, you're preparing. For what?
To get my baby brother from the storks.
Right. Hey, I love your school encourages imagination over actual learning, but the storks don't deliver anymore.
I know.
They haven't done that in, like, forever.
Dad, you don't have to help me at all. This is a guilt-free pass for you to go back inside and work. Just go. Go.
What?
Shoo, Dad. Go.
Okay. All right. Fine.
You blink and I'll be in college.
What was that?
No, I'm just walking, working. I didn't say anything. You should just...
Okay.
Remember when I was a baby? It felt like 1 minute ago.
What?
What?
That...
What?
Fine.
Dad, you'll be my idol for like 2 more years.
Okay, I heard that one. Okay, all right, look. 5 minutes. That's all the time I have is 5 minutes, and then we stop.
Yeah, five minutes.
5 minutes, and then?
We stop.
Five minutes, and then we stop.
And then we stop.
What?
Five more minutes.
That's our chimney. You're going to destroy the whole roof?
Mom, we have to replace the chimney with a slide for when the storks deliver my baby brother.
What he said.
No, don't be crazy. You cannot do the chimney. Come on, don't make me the mean mom.
Dads are fun, moms are mean.
I heard that.
Parent conference. Ow. Henry, people are going to think we're crazy. We need to tell him.
Tell him what? What, to go watch more TV? This is the best time I've had with Nate in my life. I actually feel like a dad again.
And when no baby brother shows up?
Well, then we tell him. We can get a new chimney, but we'll never be able to replace his time with Nate. And if we put those headsets back on, how old will Nate be when we take him off again?
I'm not a jerky teen yet. Fleeting moments, precious memories.
Hello?
Wow, that's not a well-made chimney. I'm a small woman, and that just came.
That came right down.
Oh, too good. My favorite part of that whole piece is like, dads are cool, moms are mean. I heard that. Dads are like, that's the best. I want to try that one sometime. But the dad and the mom eventually gain this temporary perspective adjustment. Or they realize the pursuit of their life, they're both just trying to get busy with work and get the next sale and trying to make things happen, and something that should be important to them is just kind of slipping by and carrying on because they're trying to get to something, they're trying to accomplish something, they're trying to live a life that they're not yet living. They're trying to get hold of that thing that they know will make them happy somewhere down the road. And often what we're doing is we're doing the exact same thing as them, chasing that something that's not actually going to make us happy. And here they have this temporary perspective adjustment, which allows them to enjoy this moment. Enjoy this moment with their kid. Enjoy this moment in their life. I think God is not just looking to welcome us into a temporary perspective adjustment, but give us an eternal perspective adjustment. That with eternity in our hearts, God wants to adjust how we attack life, how we live life, how we value life, how we even enjoy life. Sometimes as Christians, we think that enjoyment of life isn't something we talk about. No, we're here to live life, but we're just gonna like carry on and get off this planet. But I really believe God is calling us to actually look at it and say, look at all the things that you're trying to pursue that you think are going to make you happy, that you think are gonna make it valuable, that you think are going to add something to your life and add meaning to your life. All of those things actually are meaningless. We started there last week. And so what do we do when we realize that this world can't create meaning for us, that this world can't create the purpose that we're supposed to be living in, that this world can't create what we need to be fulfilled and to enjoy. This world cannot create sustainable even enjoyment. So what do we do when we realize that all that we have, all the satisfaction, all the fulfillment, all the meaning that we're supposed to have in our lives comes from outside of this world? What do we do in this world? What do we do while we're here? And here's what Solomon says. In fact, I'm going to read four different spots that he says it in Ecclesiastes 2, then 3, then 5, then 9. 2, 24 to 25, he says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. Listen to this, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? How do you find enjoyment without God? And some of us, you know that people have found temporary enjoyment. Maybe you've found temporary enjoyment in a whole lot of things that aren't God. And you know, just like Solomon has said, that eventually that doesn't satisfy you any longer. You need the next thing. You got to keep chasing the wind. And so he says, who can actually enjoy this life without God? Enjoyment is a gift from God. That's a good word. Someone say amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 to 13, he says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live. Now, there's an eternity out there, and you're going to end up there, and that's good. But while you live, you know, be happy here, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This is the gift of God, finding satisfaction in what you're doing, finding satisfaction in your work, in the purposes that you're doing, in the life you're living is a gift from God for you. Ecclesiastes 5:18. This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun. Remember when he says under the sun, he's talking about on earth, under the sun during the few days of life God has given them, for this is their lot. Here he's saying, look, some of you have a little, some of you have a lot, but one way or another, that is the way it is. That's your lot in life. That's how things are in life. And he's saying, for every person, whether you have a lot or a little, whether you're really healthy or really not, whether you have a good, you know, a strong marriage or not, whether people like you or not, whether you have the clothes you wish you had or not, this is your lot in life, and everyone can find satisfaction. It's a gift from God. That's what Solomon says. And then I love this one, Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with your wife, or husband, or friends. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life. I love that. You know, when you leave here, you gotta go talk to someone about that. Hey, are you enjoying your meaningless life? That's so nice, so nice. Your life looks so nice and meaningless to me. This meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. Isn't that just awesome? I don't know about you, but I just start to feel freer and freer the more that I recognize that my life is meaningless. That's actually a freeing thing for me. And for someone who doesn't have eternal perspective and someone who doesn't have God in their life, someone who doesn't recognize that we are beings on this planet for a period of time before we carry on and into eternity with God, for someone who doesn't recognize that, they're offended by the idea that their life might be called meaningless because it's all that they have. It's all that they can imagine finding meaning and purpose in. But for those of us who believe in God, who has something so much broader and bigger than this earth, it's okay and in fact freeing for us to call this life meaningless. In fact, it helps us enjoy this life to recognize that it's meaningless, because if we get sick and we can't carry on how we thought we should be able to, it doesn't matter because we're going to be made well one day. And if we're facing challenges that seem overwhelming, that's okay, and we'll figure out how to deal with it. But one way or another, we're going to get past this because eternity is in our hearts. And so we're able to say, this life can be enjoyed. Why? Because it's meaningless compared to the meaning and purpose that God has given us outside of it. The bigger picture, the eternal. The greater, the grander, the more incredible. So you have to be careful who you say they have a meaningless life. But you can say it to me for sure. I would appreciate that. It's like a compliment, really. You have a meaningless life, Evan. Thank you so much. Reminds me of where my meaning comes from, not this life, but from God. Let's just read that one again, because it's just too good. Enjoy life with your wife. Plus he rhymes. Whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all the meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and your toilsome labor under the sun. You know, sometimes when if someone says I had a pretty meaningless day, often what we think of is that's just a real negative thing. But God wants to shift our perspective and help us recognize that though we can't gain value from this earth, though we can't gain fulfillment and long-term satisfaction and long-term from this earth, and you know this. If you look at this, this is obvious to you. If you look at the pursuits that people have and the things that they want to accomplish and the things that they want to try to do and the things that they think are going to fulfill them, you know that over and over and over and over and over, it looks just like chasing wind, and they're not catching it. They get there for a second, and then it slips through their fingers, and they have to get to the next place, and it slips through their fingers, get to the next place, and it slips through their fingers. And Solomon's saying, since it's all meaningless, why don't we enjoy it? And sometimes, I know when I was especially younger and in high school, I remember being a Christian in high school and feeling like it was either you had fun or you were a Christian. Has anyone ever felt that way? You know, you either enjoy life or you're a Christian. You know, people all go into the parties like, Ev, why weren't you at the party? It's like, I'm a Christian, you know. It's so sad. I'm just a little sad little Christian, just not having fun in this life. But don't worry, God hates this world and I'll one day make it to heaven. You know, that's often our perspective. Oh, God hates all this, so I'm just going to sit here and hate it. But don't worry, I'll get to heaven one day. God doesn't hate what he created. God says it is good here. God looks at every person you see in your life and he says, very good. I love them. I value them. I died for them. And often as Christians, we're sitting there saying, well, you know, I'm just going to live my hard little Christian life and go to heaven, and I hope you don't come. Because you're not nice and you're having fun partying and I'm not allowed, you know? That's how I felt when I was in high school. Like, I hope you don't get any eternal reward because you're getting enough reward already, you know? I want my eternal reward, and I'm missing out on all your reward, and so I want heaven, and you better not get it. And this is sometimes how the Christians live, honestly. Or think, well, if we recognize that there's sort of meaninglessness in life, then we're just holding on to heaven. We're saying, well, this must be a good thing. You can have your good here. I'll have my good there. And then that's that. And we start to think that all that we're going to do is figure out how to endure this life. How do I endure this life until I get to heaven? You know, how do I get through this life until I get to heaven? But God's greatest empowering for us isn't to give us endurance so that we can get through this life. He's not just saying, I want to empower you to endure this life. He's saying, I want to empower you to enjoy this life, to actually bring enjoyment to this life. And it's not by neglecting the idea and say, well, I guess my sickness isn't actually a thing, or it doesn't actually affect me, or I'm not actually sad about this thing, or whatever it is. It's not repressing what we're facing or you know, downgrading our pain and saying, oh, maybe I'm not actually in as much pain as I am. I'm actually enjoying life. It's about taking the reality of heaven and bringing it to earth. Instead of waiting in this earth so I can get to heaven and saying, heaven, would you come to me? Would you come and allow me to see you in this time? God, would you come and allow me to experience your joy here and now? There's a lot of moments in the Bible that we kind of see that kind of thing. In the New Testament, really, the church started because of it. The church started because there's all these people following Jesus. And they were getting persecuted. People were coming against them and saying, you know, you guys are living just crazy lives. What are you even thinking? What are you doing? And I know, like, it's just crazy. We're being persecuted and we love it. We're so happy. Well, why are you so happy? Are you just crazy? You're either crazy or you know something that we don't know. I think that's the reality for Christians. You can have enjoyment in your situation now. Solomon says you can. Once you realize that what you're living right now was never meant to fulfill you, but heaven was, then you can call heaven into every situation you're in, and you can experience his joy. James 1:2 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Normally, we would think that a life that is joy-filled must have no trials, right? That's what the world around us would think. How are you going to be joyful? You just limit your trials. You make things easier. You just try not to have as many things that are going to be challenging in your life. And once you have less things that are challenging in your life, then you'll probably be able to be happy and just coast along in life and then die. And that will be really good. And here, James actually says, no. Consider it joy. When you're having trials, what are trials? Challenging times. When you're not sure where to go with your next steps, when you're not sure what you're supposed to do, when you're not sure how you're supposed to live, consider it joy. When you're not sure why that person is treating you that way, consider it joy. When you're not sure why you're not getting the raise or you got a demotion, consider it joy. When you're not sure why the job didn't work out, consider it joy. When you're not sure why that relationship is breaking apart and you have to fight for it and sacrifice more and more and more, and it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, consider it joy. Consider it joy, James says. Saying, well, no, but it's not joyful. No, it is not, but it was never supposed to be. Heaven was supposed to be. We say, I just need to make this good and then I'll have joy. But we started here saying, everything is meaningless. You're not going to create lasting joy from this earth. And so since you're not, the same place that brought you joy in the good times is the same place that's going to bring you joy in the bad times. It's heaven and it's God. And it's not the good time that made you joyful. It's God in the good time that made you joyful. It's not the bad time that steals your joy. It's you turning away from God in that time that steals your joy. Because the same God is available to you. The same heaven is available to you in that moment. It's not that your trial becomes smaller and you say, maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's that your God becomes bigger in your perspective. And you're able to see, I see something good. I see something amazing in this moment. You know, I was challenged by this whole concept just last night. I was wrapping up a few pieces of this sermon, and it was probably about 10 o'clock at night, and my eldest daughter comes to the top of the stairs, says, "Dad," I go up, say, yeah, what's up, Iz?" She goes, "I think I've got the pukies." Well, it doesn't look like it, but okay. And so we head to the bathroom, and she takes this stance over the toilet, just like this. Normally, I go for the crouch, but I didn't think anything was about to happen. Well, it was about to happen in something fierce. And Isabella got sick last night. I'm writing a sermon. Kendall's out, and I'm just thinking, like, well, this doesn't work. Now I'm cleaning the bathroom. I'm doing, like, 4 loads of laundry, and we're, like, showering off. We're doing all this stuff, try to go back down, and back up she gets, back down, and back up she gets. All this stuff while I'm writing a sermon, and I'm sitting there writing this thing, like, oh, I just got to get through this. I got to get through this so I can go to bed, so I can go to church. I got to get through this. I got to get through this. And God says, wait, is this joy? Like, no, it's not joy. What do you think? You know? What are you trying to do to me, God? Look, it's not normal what he calls us to. It's not normal what Solomon calls us to. It's not normal what heaven offers to us. It's not normal for us to say, in the midst of this, I can be joyful. It's not a normal thing, but I will tell you that as the disciples of Jesus Christ lived that way, it changed the world. If you want to shift something in culture, you don't just behave like culture. You don't just be normal. I'm going through a hard time, so I'm really unhappy and I'm really broken. And some people like, you know, normal is to be disappointed in hard times or not handling some of those things well. And abnormal is experiencing joy in those moments. Sometimes Christians, even when times are good for them, they're grumpy. Sometimes we're abnormal on the other side. Yeah, things seem fine, but I'm still in this world and not in heaven. You know? God's saying, hey, would you calm me down? Jesus says to his disciples, as in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven. Would you calm me down? No, I'm too busy enduring this broken, messed up world, and I'm going to get to you someday, God. I'm going to get to you in heaven, and it's going to be okay. And God's saying, yeah, but I want to come to you in earth. I want to come into your situation, into your brokenness, and into your mess up, and I want to help you experience it and experience my joy. Paul also, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you know Paul's life. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was kicked out of towns. Paul had rocks thrown at him. He was stoned on many occasions. He was beaten. He was imprisoned on multiple occasions. All of this stuff. And he writes, hey guys, give thanks in all circumstances. My daughter Isabella, yesterday, while that whole scene was going on, she goes, she finishes the first time. She goes, I said, you know what? You did have a lot of candy. Anyone just getting over the fall carnival at all? I said, Izzy, you did have a lot of candy. And she looks up at me, she goes, Dad, I'm so thankful because you told me I was having too much candy. I'm so thankful that you always give me good advice because you knew. And I'm like, okay. Let's go to bed. This is weird. You know, it's weird. You expect someone in that situation to be like, oh, so just tell me to stop talking to me about candy. That's usually how we act when we become adults. But kids, somehow, there was something about that moment that for me that just spoke about this. Can God do that for us? Can we believe for that in our lives? Can we believe that the Bible is true in that moment? Give thanks in all circumstances. Yeah, I can, except the certain ones that I'm dealing with. Everyone else probably can because their problems aren't as big as mine. But mine, no. Most of us probably think that way. Well, yeah, sure, they can give thanks because they have all the money. Sure, they can give thanks because they're healthy. They can give thanks because their kids are acting nicely. They can give thanks because they're cool at school and people like them. They can give thanks because of all that. Yeah, sure, it's fine for them to give thanks, but not me. Paul says, in all circumstances, give thanks. In fact, enjoy this life. Enjoy this moment. Yeah, but I don't have everything that they have. It's all meaningless anyways. This is where Solomon starts. That's why he wants us to understand that. He says over and over, enjoy just eating and drinking and being with people and enjoying these moments, not because those moments are going to give you something, but because you got to stop trying and pursuing some other life that you can't get, because once you get there, you're going to realize it's not making you happy anyways. I think one of the greatest signs that God is moving in your life is you're content. You're not trying to change everything, shift everything, become something else. Yeah, but other people have it better than me. Welcome to every Christian in the Bible. The apostles. Talked about James, talked about Paul. These are both guys who are following Jesus. The apostles in Acts 5. I love this. They have this moment where they're brought in. They get in trouble because they're talking about Jesus and stuff like that. They're brought in. And this is after the Sanhedrin, after the powers that be sit and talk about all of this. They come back and they say, it says, after his speech persuaded them, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Flogged generally means whipped, could have meant beat. It means they were physically hurt in this moment. They had them flogged and then ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I love this moment. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. What in the world? No, not what in the world. That's the problem, I guess. What out of this world is going on? What in the world? Yeah, what in the world? Nah. The in the world doesn't work for us. The in the world doesn't satisfy us. The in the world is not going to give us what we need. We need to access something that's out of this world, so that at the point when we've just been whipped, when we've just been beaten and rejected by the powers that be, by the lawmakers of our land, we walk out and go, yeah, that's awesome. Can you believe it? Isn't this great? Says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Oh, I can't believe it. We're worthy, nee, 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 nee. My back is bleeding, how about yours? Like, what? Usually, like, we're really upset if we, you know, lose our shoes or just tiny little things. Some of us have legitimate things that we should be upset about that are challenging, but God says, yeah, but would you like to make that thing bigger than me or me bigger than that thing? Which one? Would you like to see me bigger than that thing, or would you like to see that thing bigger than me? Which do you choose? Well, this is a big thing, God. Yes, it is. Do you have a bigger God or not? Because if so, I want to bring you joy in that moment, in that situation, in that challenge. Yeah, but this is big. Is your back bleeding? Have you literally just walked out of being whipped and rejected by your entire society? No? You can rejoice. And he wants to bring you joy in your situation. What if it doesn't turn around? It was meaningless anyways. What if I don't get better? Your health doesn't provide you fulfillment. God does. What if I don't actually get enough money to pay the bills? Paying your bills isn't going to provide you fulfillment. There's a whole lot of people in this world not paying their bills, or a whole lot of people paying their bills who are not happy. So obviously that doesn't make them happy. There's a whole lot of healthy people in this world who are not happy. So obviously that's not the magic key to happiness. There's a whole lot of people in the married life who are not happy. So marriage isn't the thing that's going to make you happy. There's a whole lot of people living it up in the single life and not happy. So singleness isn't the thing that makes you happy. What does make you happy? Heaven. God makes you happy. And he says, I want to bring heaven to you. So you don't have to wait to get through all of this and then get to me. I'll bring heaven to you. Worship team, can you come on up? Sometimes we think we need to do things we enjoy. But I think we need to enjoy things that we do. Often we think, well, I'll be happy once I get the other job. God's saying, how about you just start being happy? Well, in the other job? No. What about the other marriage? No. What about the other paycheck? Mm-mm. Some of us are waiting on that other thing that's going to make us happy. And God's saying, are you enjoying this time? I think in this moment right now, God would ask you, are you enjoying the life I've given you? Oh, I'm enduring it, God. Don't worry, I'll get to you soon. I'll stand strong in the midst. Are you enjoying the life I've given you? Well, there's lots of hard things that make it challenging for me to enjoy. Are you enjoying the life I've given you? Because I believe God has given you more than endurance. He's given you enjoyment. He's given you joy for the situation. And if he hasn't, I don't know what to say about the disciples who dance after they get whipped. Some of them are getting killed. And then they go, the others go and carry on. Like, wow, can you believe how big our God is? Woo! What? Yeah, I'd love to be telling a testimony to this world that that our enjoyment comes from some other place than our job or our relationship status or our money or our health or everything or us not facing any challenges. I would love for us to tell a testimony that our joy comes from somewhere else, but I'm not so sure right now that we're allowing that to take place in our lives. What makes you happy? In fact, some Christians have started saying, well, what Christianity is all about is God making everything easy for us, and he's going to give us all of the things that we want. He's going to give us all the money and all that stuff and all the health and all the things. He's going to give us all of those things, and once he gives us all of those things, then we will be happy, and then we will be good. And Solomon's saying, none of those things make you happy anyways. And the whole early church started on no one having basically any of that. And it changed the world. How did we get to the point where we think, well, I just need to get happy with all of my stuff, and then I'll know God exists? No, the world will know God exists when in the midst of all of our stuff, we're happy, we're rejoicing. There's joy. Why? Because our situations are small? No, because our God is big. Some of you may say, I'm facing huge things. I believe it. And if I walk with you in those things, we're probably going to cry about those things. We're going to try to figure those things out. We're going to wrestle with those things. It's going to be hard to sort through those things. But we're always going to have the goal together of saying, is God big enough to move in this time? And I believe he is. Many of you raised your hand last week and said, I'd rather choose eternity than this life. I'd rather choose my eternal healing than feeling just perfect right now. I'd rather choose my eternal riches rather than finding riches right now. I'd rather that than this. Many of you said that last week. Well, I think what Solomon is saying now to us is if you choose that, start to believe for that right now. And would you look for me to give you joy, to give you hope, to give you my presence that transcends your current situation, which is challenging and overwhelming, but is nowhere near as big as him. Some of the meaningless stuff you're walking through doesn't feel meaningless. It feels hard. But God wants to say to you, I'm strong enough for it. I'm strong enough for it. Would you choose joy? Would you choose to recognize me as big enough? You don't have to manipulate yourself to be joyful. You just need to work to see the God who's big enough to make you joyful. So I just want to ask you in a response, and then I think maybe after that we could do that where the Spirit of the Lord is song and have a little bit of joy in the house. But in this moment, Please close your eyes for a second, actually. I have a couple questions. Some of you have decided that there's somewhere down the road things will shift, and that's when you can enjoy life. And God is here saying, will you allow me to be your joy for life? For some of you, you're saying, I just need to figure out a different marriage. I'm not feeling it. God is saying, I want to bring you joy in that marriage. Some of you are saying, I just need to make more money and then I can have joy. And God is saying to you, will you first allow me to show you myself here? Does that mean I can never get another job? No. But it means that whatever job you have, God is bigger. And no job is going to give you the fulfillment that he wants you to have. Only he will. For some of you, you're thinking, as soon as I finish high school, as soon as I get out of high school, I can start to enjoy my life. God is saying, will you allow me to give you joy here and now? Will you trust me for it? Will you let me do that? For some of you, maybe it's more, you know, you have these good pursuits and you're saying, what, I just need to be less busy. I need to figure out how to be less busy. God convicted my heart on this week because we say, well, I don't need to pursue this job, so I'll just get a little bit less busy and then I'll be happy. Just so you know, when you're less busy, doesn't make you happy. When you're less busy, you might have more time to pursue Jesus and he makes you happy, but being less busy doesn't make you happy. And so for some of you, you're saying to God, I'm too busy to be happy. And God is saying, will you allow me to bring you joy here and now in your busyness of life? Will you allow me to be bigger than your busyness? So today, just in your own heart, would you just look to God, the God who opens up eternity to us? I believe God's saying to you right now, you don't have to wait. You can call eternity into your life right now. Call heaven into your life right now. Call Jesus into your life right now. Start to know the God who's bigger than your situations. Experience the joy in the midst of what should crush you. Jesus, we just ask for your presence. That presence like you gave to the disciples who rejoiced in their own suffering. That presence that you've brought to entire poor communities who seem to be happy even though they don't have what we have. That joy that you showed as you carried your cross, Jesus. That you knew the joy was set before you. You could walk in it. Jesus, I just pray for that joy. Holy Spirit, come and meet people. Some people need a real ministering of their heart. They really need to find your joy in this moment. Lord, I just ask that you would allow them to discover you now. Now. Not once it's done. Now. Not once everything's resolved. Now. Not once the money's all sorted out. Now. Not once the marriage is all better. But now, Jesus, restore them. Restore their joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants that for you. God wants joy now in your life. If today you feel like you need a little extra prayer for that, why don't you make your way to the front? I would love to pray for you. We have some team that would love to pray for you. And for the rest of you, if you feel like, I'm just going to go walk in it. I'm going to go experience it. Lift your eyes to God. Joy is not what you need. Jesus is what you need. But when he shows up, it comes with joy. So go enjoy life. Enjoy the meal you eat. Enjoy the family that you have. Enjoy the friends you're with. Enjoy the home that you're living in, because it's your lot in life, and changing it will not make anything more meaningful. Just inviting Him to it will. So go do that.